This is Screen View with Peter Van, Amy Morgan, and John Denny. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Screen View Show, and join in on the conversation on Google Plus.
Hello and welcome to Screen View, episode 21, March 27th, 2012. I have with me John Denny and Amy Morgan. How are you guys today?
Good. Surviving.
Surviving. Good.
That's very good.
My kids have been wonderful today. Not. So let's get into some reviewing.
All right. Awesome. So before we get into some reviewing, we will talk about, let's talk about some movies really quickly.
Who made the most money at the box office this weekend?
The Hunger Games made the most money at the box office this weekend. $152.5 million.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a lot.
Didn't they, like, knock Twilight out of the water?
It blew it out of the water, yeah. Twilight actually doesn't do very well, like, very
Because
well.
I thought, like, when they did, like, pre-sales, because I was under the, I thought I remember my husband seeing, reading something that said something about, like, the pre- They said they were only going to make a second movie if they made so much in sales, like the first weekend, and they decided to pre-sell tickets, and they made it within the pre-sales, and yeah. That is what blew Twilight out of the water or something like that. I was like, oh, that's cool. It's like, yeah.
I don't know how they could do that. They would only tell a part of the story. People would be livid.
Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, it's true, like but- The Last Airbender did that too.
Yeah, but they finished the story, didn't they?
I think I thought they kind of told at least the first half of it or something like that. I don't know. I didn't ever.
They did that. They did it with the Golden Compass series.
Yeah, and then they also
they never made the other two.
They also semi did it with the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You know, like the that series.
Yeah,
but then they lost their minds and made them anyway.
Yeah, nobody watched it because everyone forgot about the movies.
But and it was like years later, and they were like, these kids are grown up now. That's not weird.
Yeah.
Well, they did make two other movies.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But there's like and seven movies.
I thought that they were going to continue to finish the rest of them. They were just going to use different actors or whatever. Because the same kids, they do get like older and stuff, but like they can always use other people.
Yeah.
But just, I think that ship has sailed for the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series.
Oh, okay. Well, bummer, because I'd like to see more of it.
Yeah, but just to answer your question, Amy, it did. It blew it out of the water. The closest was the New Moon, which was $10 million less. So even with all of that hype and all that other stuff, the Hunger Games still beat it.
Yep. It's a good movie. I thought they did
good.
Oddly enough, though, the Hunger Games books did not sell as much as the Twilight books, from what I've read.
Yeah.
It's like a flip-flop.
Well, yeah. there's also less books.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but they, I mean, still, for a franchise that was relatively unknown, you know, 8 months ago.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, I knew about it because I heard a couple people talk about it, and that's where I heard it by word of mouth. I said that I've had several people actually recommend it to me over the last 2 years, but I read the Twilight stuff because that was easy read. It was so long, and I don't know, this hooked me in a little bit better. And
I've been
meaning to read Hunger Games, I just haven't done it yet. And maybe that's the reason why other people haven't read it. I've heard it's really good.
there's also still time. So it'll keep building momentum.
Oh yeah, the books aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, definitely not. And they're relatively cheap on, you know, so you can, they're in paperback and everything. So they're all done.
Yeah.
You can definitely pick them up for cheap. So The Hunger Games is actually the largest non-sequel film opening ever. And is the third highest gross, opening gross behind Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 and The Dark Knight. Which is huge.
They are on a roll.
Yeah. Number two was 21 Jump Street, which is at $20 million, which actually held its own. It dropped 43%, which is actually not that much.
That's pretty good.
That's a very good holdout. Dr. Seuss, The Lorax, John Carter, which we'll talk about in a little bit because Amy saw it this weekend. Act of Valor, Thousand Words, Project X, October Baby. I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, I have no idea.
It's like a indie flick.
Okay.
It's controversial from what I remember in some way, shape, or form. I remember seeing somewhere.
Well, apparently it's so controversial that everyone went to go watch it because it's only in 390 theaters and it made $1.7 million.
Yeah. Which that's typically the way that goes. That's controversial movies, people go see them.
Yeah. Safe House, number 9, and rounding it out is Journey to the Mysterious Island.
Mysterious Island, yeah.
Opening this weekend is Mirror Mirror, which is the second of three movies with Snow White in it.
Three?
Huh? Yeah, there's another one called, I think it was called Snow White. Sleeping Beauty, I'm sorry. So there's two of them.
Oh, right, Snow White.
And,
Snow White goes to sleep, but that's Sleeping Beauty is different.
Yeah. So Snow White is, this is Mirror Mirror.
This is the one. Yeah,
and then there's another one called Snow White and the Huntsman, which is literally a...
It's Twilight.
It's a three-hour...
So it's Twilight.
It's a two-hour movie of
Charisse Theron and Kristen...
Stewart.
What was her name? Kristen Stewart, yeah, there you go.
And Chris Hemsworth, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's funny because it comes out with this, and then they did one episode of this entire movie in one episode of Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh, that's interesting. But Mirror Mirror has 86% so far. And the sequel, Wrath of the Titans, is coming out as well. So those are the two wide release films. No reviews.
I recently just saw Clash of the Titans.
Was it good?
It was pretty good.
It's a movie that definitely relies a lot on the special effects. If you want a story, go get the original.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the special effects were really cool, but that's all that I could really get out of that movie that I was like, oh. Because, you see, in the original, like, they had this whole, you know, one of the main characters falls in love with the other character, and then you can see his motivation for doing what he's doing. In Clash of the Titans, the remake, it's all about revenge. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that was mindless.
I mean, it doesn't follow any kind of mythology to any extent, so...
Okay. Yeah, the original is much better. I mean, the special effects were cheesy, but, you know, hey, they actually had a really good story. So, if you want a story, go see the original.
Okay.
So.
Last week, we talked about the teenage alien Ninja Turtles. Just a couple things of a follow-up. They actually renamed the film, so Paramount has... it's officially titled the film just Ninja Turtles, and Michael Bay, who's a producer of the film, kind of like pushed it. He was like, oh, Paramount made this decision, and everybody is going to be exactly the same as you knew them to be when you were children, except they're aliens.
Yeah.
So you'll
do
be happy.
Do they fly spaceships?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't understand. This movie is definitely coming out.
It's coming out Christmas 2013.
Wow.
There's not going to be a big enough backlash where people are going to say either change it or don't do it at all.
Nah. They're already committed. They've already committed.
All I have to say is anybody out there who's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan, welcome to the Transformer Club.
Yeah. There's going to be like, yeah, it's just going to be like Liam Neeson telling them to bomb them. And it's going to be Transformers meets Ninja Turtles. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
They're going to have, like, transforming battle armor. Their turtle shells are going to, like, transform. They're going to have... It's going to be crazy.
And then they're going to say, we're aliens, dude!
Yeah, exactly. Give me pizza, dude! But Peter Laird, who is the co-creator of Ninja Turtles, he actually sold the rights to the turtles to make this...
There's the problem right there.
But he believes that making them aliens is genius because... one of the issues that he had when he was working on the comics and the shows were that he has always tried to introduce new turtles and kind of, you know, expand the story arc. And then he said, I can't figure out a way.
Why would you need to?
So I don't know. But he said,
it's like the first thing that they do when they run out of ideas is introduce new characters. They made fun of it on The Simpsons.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, he said, I'll admit I have played. So this is Peter Laird. I'll admit I have played with the idea of more turtles myself a few times. There was a character of Kirby, the fifth turtle, that Kevin Eastman and I came up with for one of the original several movie ideas that never came to fruition. And I created the Super Turtles in Volume 4 of the TMNT comics published by Mirage, and they eventually appeared in one episode of the Four Kids animated TMNT TV series, which is actually pretty good. But in those instances, I was careful to make these turtles not just more of the same, that is, just extra Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. In both of the above cases, the extra turtles were from Under the Dimensions. So he feels that he just feels that, you know, having a whole planet of them is very interesting. So He likes it. Kevin Eastman, a co-creator, also thinks it's awesome. And Brian Tochi, he voiced Leonardo, and he thinks that it's going to be great. He actually said Mazel Tov.
Thank you, Brian Tochi.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, as long as they do it well, I guess. I mean, you know, updating it is always cool, is always fine in my book, but as long as they don't make them stupid, I guess. I don't...
Well, we'll see. When they put it on the screen, we actually see some, like, trailers, we give us some actual footage, and then we'll see. But I'm just... It doesn't sound very good to me. I'm like, going, ugh, Michael Bay...
If okay, Michael Bay could just shut up about it...
Yeah.
Then people would have a whole different idea. I mean, imagine it, like, when George Lucas comes out with a new idea for stuff, everyone's like, oh my god, George Lucas.
Well, and here's the other thing, is that if there's no script, then why are they giving us all of this stuff? That's what I don't get, is like, okay, they've already said, there's no script, we haven't read it yet, we're just dealing, you know, where they're just getting the ideas out there. So it's like, okay, well, if there's no script, then why are you doing it? And it's probably what we've talked about last week too, is that to get people like us start to talk about it. So we're like, oh, it's gonna, you know, even if it's bad PR, it's still PR, right?
Yep, you're right.
Yep.
All right. So just Hangover Part 3 is being made. So it's going to be them going to India, and they will lose a guy. Somebody's gonna get married. Person's gonna get a tattoo, and. That's Hangover Part 3. You don't even have to go see it next summer. And then also, the 300 sequel is also coming out in August 2nd.
I don't get this.
So I guess the Spartans resurrect. I guess what happens is those arrows actually didn't kill them.
Oh, right, wow. And that's amazing.
They're immortal. Actually, 300 has become Immortals, and then there's a sequel to the Immortals. I don't know. I just made that up. I don't know. I think this might be a prequel or something. I'm not too sure.
We'll find out.
Either way, it's stupid. It shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's not going to make $400 million.
No. It's not going to make... No, it's not going to make the $450 million that 300... But anyway, on to that, we are going to discuss.
It's review time.
The Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, yay!
Yay! So, the Hunger Games, like I said, made a lot of money, a crap ton of money, and some are expecting it to reach $400 million domestically.
Cool.
The foreign following is not as big, but $400 million is nothing to scoff at, which is probably just enough for them to make both of the other movies. They're probably going to film the other two back-to-back or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
Because they're already going to – I was reading a report today that Jennifer Lawrence is actually – the star of the movie is actually going to gross probably about $1 million just for this movie.
That's it?
Well, she was only paid $500,000 for being in the film, and then, you know, whatever, like, milestones or whatever. But she's not really that well known.
Yeah, but it's not like she was
unknown. Yeah,
it's not like she was unknown, but she wasn't that well known, and they didn't know how big this movie was going to be, I guess.
She should have asked for points.
She did. She's going to hit certain milestones, and they said that she'll probably clear about $1 million for this movie. And then they're probably going to double her base salary at least by the next movie. Which is,
yeah, I mean, they did make a lot of money.
She'll get a mil or two. If they film back to back, she might get 4 mil. Who knows?
Or she might get 1 mil for 2 movies.
Yeah, I don't think that's so that's good. So let's talk about the movie. We sort of all saw it. Amy and I saw it, but John read the book and then talked to his wife and
read reviews
and explained everything. So let's go with Amy. Amy, how did you like The Hunger Games?
I liked it. I thought that they did get a job. I don't know that much about the books, but I do know a few things that my sister-in-law told me about it like a couple months ago. And so I kind of had an idea of what to expect, but I didn't know what was going to actually happen, like all of the reveals and stuff like that. And I think that they did a good job considering the fact that I think they did probably leave out quite a bit of the subplot stuff. But when you think about it, like, they'd have to develop it a certain way to put every little bit in. And so something always has to be cut. I mean, this is the same problem that they've had with the Harry Potter movies, where you get, like, a huge plot, and you can only put it in to 2 hours or 2.5 hours or something like that. So I thought that they did a really good job. There's only one part in there that kind of didn't make sense to me, or I just kind of questioned why they put it in there. I can understand why they put it in there, but I thought, well, they could have maybe taken it out, but it wasn't so bad that I didn't, like, get it, and it didn't break me out too much. Spoiler. But I was like, Okay, there's a part in there when one of the characters dies, and our main character, Katniss, gets, you know, she gets really upset, and she does the whole, you know, she's really upset, and she basically does like a grave site for this character that died. And then afterwards she does the sign thing to kind of give honor to like one of the other districts that this person came from. And it started a riot in that district, which was District 11. And I kind of liked, I thought it was enough to show, like, I kind of got the idea that maybe the guy that walked away was like her dad or something, and was like really upset that his daughter had died.
You're right.
And so he like started a riot. But as it continued forward, I just didn't understand why they showed so much of it, because they didn't really talk a lot about how the districts played a role in the games. Like, I know that the main characters were supposed to have like won tributes and won like resources and stuff for their districts. They really didn't focus a lot on that. It was more about just the game instead of like winning stuff for their districts, because some districts are more poor than others, and they win things for them, so that like they're the people that they leave behind. You know, they're actually winning resources for them, so it was kind of like it's also there to, well, you're going to die anyhow, so do the best you can so you win stuff for the people that you're leaving back home. So I thought, oh, okay, well, they kind of didn't put that in the movie, and I don't know if it was just because there was too much to have to be able to explain. I knew it because what I've been told about the book, but so I didn't really know. But that part about the riot, just kind of thought, okay, I just didn't know how that was going to really make an effect, because up until then, it really didn't seem like the districts had much of a choice. And so that kind of made it look like, oh, well, they actually do have a choice. And I thought, well, I don't know if they needed to have that part in there just because of that. So, it did work for the character, because then you saw, well, everybody respected her and liked her, which was one of the things that she was really struggling with through half the film, was how to get people to like her. And that was a really easy way for her to do that, because of the respect that she showed one of her fallen, you know, contestants. Mm-hmm. And so I liked that. I just don't know if they needed to go as far into the riot as they needed to. I mean, they could have just showed that, you know, the guy went off and they went, yay! And then he went and, you know, punched a guard and he was arrested or something. That, you know, I just don't know if they needed to go that far into a riot, even though I know it happened in the book. So I was like, okay.
It's a bit of foreshadowing, the whole rioting thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what they don't, they changed in the book was that, so what they changed between the movie and the book, obviously, is that the narrative is different. All three of the books are told in first person, so it is all in the eyes of Katniss.
When I read a book, and it's told from the first person. It seems to make a lot of sense when you're reading it to say, oh, this would be really easy to make as a movie. But then you think about it, and it's like, well, how do they write this stuff? Because this is stuff that the character is thinking about, and it would be weird. Right. It would be weird for a character to say it out loud because they're living in that world. Why would they say, you know, oh my goodness, we're so poor?
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, so they cut a lot of, like, the thing that they changed was definitely the narrative of the film. So you're right to be a little confused about the way about the Hunger Games, because they explained a little bit more. They definitely explained a lot more in the book, because obviously she's the protagonist, so she explains a lot more. So what happens is, if you are chosen as tribute and you lose, you don't get anything. You just die.
Right.
Yeah, you die and that's it.
If you win, you get riches and food for the rest of your life for you and your family.
Yeah.
You don't have to work another day in your life.
And I figured that much. I mean, you know, I figured that, like, they would win something, you know. You're not dead. I mean, they kind of did kind of come across that way, because the other guy that was, like, their sponsor that was helping them, you know, he had won.
He was not drunk enough, in my opinion.
He wasn't drunk enough,
yeah. he is
it seemed
drunk,
like everything was
drunk.
Kind of handed to him, and, you know, he was, like, he was just always drinking. So I thought, okay, so he won a long time ago, and he's been drunk ever since.
Yep.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Exactly. So what they explained, so about the sign and everything, was that is actually a sort of like a sign of defiance, I guess.
Like, here's the thing. I'm reading the book, and I didn't understand why she did it when I'm reading the book. You know what I mean? Like,
why she did the sign?
Yeah, it's completely out of character.
Why?
Because she's like an antisocial, like, loner, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so why would she, and it, like, all of a sudden she cares about somebody? It just seems very weird to me.
It's because it reminds her of her little sister.
That would make sense.
So that's the main reason why they got so attached to each other, because Rue knew that she had a bigger sister, and the way, like, you know, the way she was treating, so she kind of got attached to her that way, and then she was like, oh, she reminds me of my little sister. And then she was just paying tribute to her because it just reminded her. I mean, they kind of they bonded a lot more in the book. They definitely had more time to bond in the book. So they,
I didn't think they had a hard time bonding, like, in the movie. I mean, because you kind of got that sense that, I mean, it wasn't very hard to see that conveying-wise, she was kind of relating to her as, like, oh, this is, like, the little sister that I don't have.
Right.
Because my sister's, I'm here to keep my little sister from having to be here. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't too hard for me to get that and go, okay, this is the sister association that she's kind of, you know, with this kid. The only thing I was worried about is she going to turn on her? I was like, I hope not.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of trust to put in a little kid that, you know, you never know. You are in a competition, only one comes out.
Right.
Yeah. What I heard was that they didn't really do a really good job of explaining the aspect of why the people were hungry. Mm-hmm. I've heard people say, they looked like they were poor, but they didn't explain that they were, you know, starving, which is what they conveyed a lot in the book.
Yeah, they didn't explain. Yeah, they didn't do a very good job of.
There's only one line in there when she turns to the guy before she leaves and tells him, "Don't let them starve." That was the only thing that made me get, okay, so if she leaves, her family's going to starve. Because she's the one that goes out into the forest and shoots the squirrels and brings them back home.
Yeah, what they didn't really explain is the reaping. The way the reaping works is that you put in your name into the reaping. Every time you put in your name in, you get more food.
Well, you have to put your name is in there automatically.
Yeah, you get one a year.
You turn 18.
Yeah, you already have, like, one. Everybody's in there at least once already. But
if you choose to put it in there more, then you get food, but
you get more
food. There's a greater chance that you're going to be picked.
Right.
Okay.
That's why when she asked Gail, like, how many times, he said, like, 40. He said, like, 42.
Yeah, they didn't.
A huge number.
Yeah,
so they didn't explain that part either, which is, like, I mean, I read the book, so I was like, oh, yeah, this all makes sense. And then
that went right over my head.
Yeah, that was one of the main things I wanted to ask about in this is that, you know, were you confused? What parts of the book were you, or the movie, were you confused about? And that's one.
I didn't really get a lot of confusion because I thought, well, if it's something, I just figured it was enough that they had to be there because they were a certain age. I didn't get the whole, you know, the more food you ask for, the more times you get put in. So I thought, oh, I mean, I remember them saying something like, oh, you know, something about like asking for too much food. And I thought, what is that all about? But it was just it was a line that just kind of went past and I really didn't pay attention to it because I thought, oh, I just didn't. You know, it didn't strike me enough for me to go, oh, okay, I didn't get what they said there.
Did it end the way the book ended? I don't know. You haven't read the book, Amy.
I haven't.
Yeah, Amy, how did you feel about the ending?
I thought they were cheating. I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, I can get the whole reason why they did it, because they wanted the game to end, but I thought, you cheaters! I don't know why these people haven't risen up and, like, debunked and, you know, got rid of this stupid, you know, lottery already at this point if they were to do
right.
things like that.
But how did they actually end it? In the book, they said that they changed the rules and then two people can live and then there's two people left and then they change the rules again and then one of them has to die and then she, you know, picks these poison berries to kill them both and blah, 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 blah. But then they're on the train and it's like, the trainer goes, well, you pissed everybody off, and now we're heading back into the city, and then the book ends, and it's like, that's the end? That's the end?
Yeah,
like, that's not the end of a book.
Not how it ended.
That, yeah.
Well, they kind of, exactly. This is what they did. They did the whole, you know, they played off this whole we're in love type of thing. Hmm. They got to the end, they killed the other guy, they had these dogs that came after them to kind of push them to the place where everybody was supposed to end and begin.
The cornucopia.
And so it was cheating. I didn't like every single time that, you know, the game officials interfered, they always ended up interfering and in hurting the contestants in some way or another when they should be fighting each other. Like, they did that at the very beginning with the whole fireball things, and I thought, come on, man, she got injured because of them, not because it wasn't
fair. Oh, yeah,
fair.
I mean, that's half the point. They want it.
They don't explain that the people in the Capitol are watching it for sport.
No, they definitely explain it because they actually do a lot during the game, actually. They actually pan through Caesar instead, like, so they actually have, like, a broadcast booth where he explains everything. And it was actually really cool to see how they did that because in the book they just kind of explained like, oh, here come these like these, you know, morphlings coming out of nowhere and I don't know where they came from. But in the movie they show Capitol actually creates them.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and they just like throw them into the thing. It was like creepy look. They look like these big dogs. It was like kind of crazy.
I would be running as fast as I can too.
Yeah.
In the book though, I mean, that's part of it where they just, like, she doesn't know where they come from. That like, sort of freaks her out because the way that they look remind her of the other tributes.
Yeah, they left that out.
So they cut that all out?
Yeah. In the books, they have, like, their eyes look exactly like the weirdness aspect
of it. But if you see, like, where they're coming from, that sort of, like, takes you out of it, I guess, as someone who's read the book where it's like, oh.
Yeah, it would look weird. I think if they like tried to CG like those people's faces into the mug,
yeah, that would have been too.
Oh yeah, it would have looked stupid. But like, you know,
it would have been
that's
too
the whole
much
idea.
To pick
that
up
was
that
the whole
the
idea
time.
Of those monsters in the book was to be like, you know,
to
bring them to the cornucopia, but also to, you know, like freak out the contestants and be like, oh my god, did they take such and such's body and make her into a monster?
No, they cut that.
Ew!
Yeah, that was like really creepy. Amy, the end when they went back to the district, how did you feel? Did you feel that it just kind of like?
So they actually made it back to the district because
they did.
They
did afterwards, like because they changed the rules again. They said, okay, now only one of you can come out. I thought, oh, are you serious? That they do this whole like they're going to do a suicide pact and.
Yeah.
They end up, they were going to do it, and then they said, no, wait, stop, we changed your mind, you know, so it was like, okay, well, you were trying to manipulate them, so they just manipulated you back.
Right.
And they get out of it, and then, of course, they're like, the sponsors are all saying, look, you guys have to go with this, because you've really made a lot of people upset, and they're like, huh, we did, really? I was like, we're just glad to be alive.
Right.
And so they kind of play off this whole, you know, yes, we did it because we were in love with each other, and I couldn't live without him, and he says the same thing. And so then they send them back because they've won. And they go back, and they've won this great honor with their, you know, their district. And they're still kind of putting up the facade, the act, that they're, like, together. But you kind of get this idea that she's kind of got reservations. She's, like, not being a complete jerk by saying, oh, by the way, I really don't care about you anyhow.
Right.
I mean, you can... But
so the end of the movie was the beginning of the second book.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like.
Actually, it's funny, Amy, because your reservation, the way you said it is exactly how it occurred in the book.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
She says to him, she's like, I don't really like you like that. And he goes, oh, and he's like really depressed about it. But that's good. That's good to know that you actually, that's what you got from it. Like that they had like a 30-second conversation. And it's good to know that you actually got that from that. Because that was like, I was like, man, they completely glazed over that. Of, you know, that she has reservations about it. So it was good for you to notice that.
I did notice that. I mean, because it was just, you know, it was all based on how she didn't say anything. It was just how she was acting and how she was, you know, doing the acting. So I thought, okay, well, she's pulled off the line without even saying anything. So.
Yeah, so it's definitely, It's definitely well acted.
Oh, yeah. I thought that they did a really good job with that. I thought the main actress did a good job. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'm actually on the list to get a book at the library, so I'm going to read it now. But
the library? My goodness.
I know. I'm just sorry.
Free.
I'm just kidding. But I
just want to get it on audio because it works better for me to be able to multitask.
Right.
Have either of you seen Battle Royale?
Uh-uh.
No, I actually didn't hear about that until last week.
It's like this, I want to say like 90s-ish movie, Japanese movie.
Yeah.
Where it's basically, I think it's like a bunch of kids are graduating or something, and for some reason their like final project is to go on this mountain and kill each other.
Oh, wow.
It's like the same premise where like only one person can survive. But it's like when I first heard about this series, I was like, oh, Battle Royale. And it's like very, that's what I like, sort of wanted to talk about. It was very violent, very bloody, that movie, and the book it was also. But the movie was rated PG-13. The Hunger Games was rated PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they had to cut like a lot of the, I don't want to say ultra gore, because it was just like, it wasn't that the book wasn't gory, but it put off, you know, it didn't hide the fact that it's a book about kids killing each other.
Oh yeah. The first, after they got to the, they got into the game, like the first 10 minutes was
That was actually,
they killed like half the people in a few minutes.
Actually, the director did a really good job showing, without showing a lot, but showing enough that they were just like, in the beginning, you remember, John, that they had to, like, once they got off the platforms, they were like, Haymitch was like, run. He's like, don't even bother with the corner cookie. Just get out of there. So they were showing what was happening when they all rushed for the corner cookie and just, it was a slaughterhouse. And it was very interesting. It was like the way it was like cut, the way it was done, it was really well done without it being too bloody and too gruesome. But you could feel it. You could definitely.
Did they show anyone get off of their little platform before the 60 seconds was up?
No, they didn't.
They didn't. It never happened in the book, but.
I was expecting somebody to just be like,
yeah, I thought that they would put it in there as sort of like, hey, this is what happens if you leave too soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Amy, in the book, they're like, they get raised up to the playing field on these platforms, and you have to wait 60 seconds on a platform, but if you leave too soon, and the whole thing is surrounded with landmines.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, they explained that in the movie, too. He was like, Haymitch said, don't get off. It'll blow you to bits.
And she's like, when they first raise her up to
said, but I was like, oh, gosh.
When they first raise her up to the platform, she's like, oh, my God, I can't move anywhere. Definitely don't move anywhere.
Yeah, I think overall, at first when I saw, you know, even when I was talking to my girlfriend about it, we were talking about seeing the trailers and stuff. I had less reservations than she did. And she was saying, I don't know, you know, Lenny Kravitz doesn't seem like a good Cena, and he doesn't
Oh, he was good. I liked him.
He was really good. He was actually exactly how I expected him to be. And a lot of the other people, it was actually a well-acted movie. Some of them, like, some of the minor characters, kind of like, oh, okay. right, you got to stop doing that. But then I think all the highlight characters, the ones that will be featured again in the later films, they were well done. So it was definitely a good adaptation. There were things that they did. They got, you know, they cut some characters. They put some things in, like you were saying, Amy, the riot in District 11 is a foreshadowing of what will occur in the next two films.
Okay.
In the book, it was not talked about at all because obviously it's the first person view, so she has no idea.
She has no idea what's happening outside of this.
Yeah.
Was three quarters of the movie taking place in the Hunger Games?
Yes. It was.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first hour. It's actually a pretty long movie. It's a 2.5 hour movie. The first hour and some odd is the reaping and them getting ready, and then the other hour is just like them running around in the games.
Yeah, I thought they balanced it really well. I didn't feel like I think they paced it well enough that you got they get taken to the Capitol, they get picked, they get taken to the Capitol, and then they have a little bit of a training, and she's supposed to win over the audience in little ways, and then you have where she's getting put into the game, and you're like, it was so tense.
Right.
And then there's the whole game going, oh gosh, is she going to make it?
I'm here to help you.
Right. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, very good, John. We can, if you ever, by any chance, do catch it again, but then we will.
I'm sure I'll see it.
We'll see how
Steph said she wants to see it again, so.
It's definitely a good movie. I think it was good.
I'd go and see it again.
I would go see it again, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so really quickly, Amy, you saw you saw John Carter this weekend.
I did. Yeah, I saw two movies.
You went out of this world. You just kept watching movies. It's crazy.
Someone hit the lottery.
Someone hit the lottery.
Me and my husband got away. We had spring break. We left the kids over at my grandparents or at grandma and grandpa's.
Okay.
My parents' house. We spent 2 days just us. And so I said, let's go see a movie.
Movies.
Let's go see another movie.
Very good.
Yes.
Okay.
So we got to see Hunger Games the first day. And then the next day we got to see John Carter. So,
okay. Yay. So what did you think of John Carter?
I really liked it. I know that, we've been kind of talking about how it's not doing very good because it spent so much to make, and it was really gorgeous. It was really nice. I thought they did a good job, but it's Disney, so, the story was actually pretty cool. I liked it. It was good. It was really good. I really liked it, so.
That's what I hear. I mean, everyone that I know is going to see it has said it's a really good movie.
It's definitely a sci-fi. So if you're not into sci-fi, you're going to be like...
It got good reviews. It's just nobody went to watch it, oddly enough. It was weird.
Yeah.
Kind of bizarre.
I don't know. It's really good. It's like they do even how they set it up, how they played, all of it. It worked for me. I really liked it. I thought it was just as good as Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. If they're both good, I would... give them two thumbs up, both of them. So I really liked it. It was, this guy starts out in the 1700s, something like that, and he gets sucked into a sci-fi movie, basically.
Okay. That's good. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amy. Let's see. Next, we will talk about...
It's TV talk time.
Yay. So... television. I'm sorry, Amy, to let you know this, but Terra Nova is officially canceled.
No!
No one's picking it up?
Forever. Well, until somebody picks it up, several years later, I guess. But the discussion...
Netflix isn't picking it up?
Nope. Talks between Netflix and Fox have collapsed, so Terra Nova's gone. And another couple of NBC got picked up two shows, which is funny, because a couple weeks ago we talked about how sad NBC was doing and everything, but they picked up Grimm, which is a fairy tale show, and Smash, which I'm sorry, that's such a weird name. So Smash has been renewed. That's fun times. All right, good for NBC, good, sad for Terra Nova, and sad for
Amy.
Yeah.
That's
all right.
But
like I said, I like my sci-fi.
Yeah. But if John, can you hold up that glass that you've been drinking out of this show here? See, it's empty. It's sort of empty now, but He's been drinking in celebration of the return of Mad Men. Season 5 has come back after a 17-month hiatus from AMC, which is a crap ton of a long time.
The entire season was aired in one night, it felt like. It was a long-ass episode.
It is a two-hour-long episode, right? And Mad Men is a long episode. Every episode is about 47 minutes long, which is 5 minutes longer than most series get during an episode. Or even 7 minutes. It depends on the series. So it was an hour and 30-some-odd minutes long total without commercials. Just felt like it was a movie. It was a movie. It was crazy. It was definitely it's a slow go. It's a definitely like
A commercial that I saw during the Walking Dead finale the week before.
Yeah.
There was it showed a bunch of the Mad Men characters waking up from like drunken stupors.
Yeah. Yeah.
It said the dead are rising. Yeah. Oh my god, it's so funny.
And it was like the Walking Dead fans, Mad Men's for you, and they're just like, waking up from drunken stupors. Yeah. The season premieres are always known to be a little slow to get you kind of eased back in. Like, it's what year is it? Okay. This is what this person's been doing. This is what this person's doing. So it kind of gets your bearings, in. So, but before we talk about, season 5 at all, Amy has been working her way through the series and, how are you enjoying this series so far, Amy?
I'm really struggling to get through the first season.
Oh, no.
I've had a very hard time being able to relate to any of the characters until episode 9, where I finally went, I guess I can kind of relate a little bit to these guys. Because up until now, I haven't been able to relate to any of them. They all just seem to not have any redeeming qualities. And I'm like, it's just, okay. They always are drinking or smoking or, like, you know, sleeping around on their spouses. So I'm like, okay, this is just, they're all terrible.
Right.
They're also, like, I completely get that. They're also arrogant or, like, you know, drunk or, you know,
childish or
stupid. Like,
spoiled.
There's no one can relate to these characters. You know what I mean?
It's very difficult. So I've been just kind of plugging away. So it'll be a while till I get to where you guys are, but I'm like, I'll keep watching because I said I would do it.
I think once you find out certain characters have secrets and you find out like what other characters' motivations are, and you see how they play off of each other, it makes everything a little bit more interesting. I don't know if they get into the one character's big secret in season 1. I don't think they do at all.
They do. Actually, quite early
oh, really?
In the season, right,
Amy? Is it the brother that...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, that's right. Right.
Very early in the season. It's surprising. Yeah. I actually didn't remember it to be that early in the season.
I thought it came out.
Yeah, me too. But it was only like episode 4, I think.
Wow. Yeah, it was pretty early then.
Don Draper.
Season, I'm still trying to get to know, like, why is it he's so against his family? Like, and I'm like, I've gotten to the point where he said basically that he was a child born out of wedlock and that everybody called him bastard all the time and all that. Sorry, Brian. but I guess editing, all that fun stuff.
We'll slip it in. He won't know.
I can't say he's an illegitimate child. And so because of that, you get this feeling that his stepdad was just a really mean guy, and they had this homeless guy come through or whatever, and they, you know, he was explaining how, like, different marks mean different things to homeless people that are going through, and he said that this is the one of dishonest, and he finds out that his stepdad is a dishonest man. So I was like, okay, and then, of course, on that episode, he finds out the woman that he's with is not really in love with him. She's actually in love with somebody else. And so he feels betrayed. And I thought, You're sleeping with your wife. Come on, hypocrite.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. A lot of.
But, things, I mean, yeah. The thing about Don, he lives sort of in his own world where, you know, everything revolves around him, and he doesn't see the consequences of what he says and does. Do you know? Does that make sense?
It's weird because he, at times...
He's supposed to be... Like, you'd think that he would be the moral center where, like, you know, he's the main character, he's got to judge everyone else, but, like, he's so immoral that he doesn't, like, you know...
Yeah, but it...
He doesn't, like, there's no switch in his brain that says, maybe I shouldn't say this.
It is weird,
maybe I shouldn't do this.
Because at times, Don will be, like... He'll be so sensitive to people. He'll soothe them over, or, like, when Peggy, like... You know, Peggy says, "Oh, I want to do this and I want to do that." He goes, "Okay, fine. You know, go for it. You know, do it." He encourages people, and he at times he's like, "Oh, he's like, well, what do you want to? He's like, what do you want me to say? What do you want to hear?" And he's like, he doesn't want to fight anymore, kind of thing. But at times he does things to people. Like there's this one further later in the series where. Peggy stages a hoax so she can get like one of her clients in the paper, so they'll be happy.
Yeah.
Sugarberry hams, where they have two women fighting each other over a ham, so they can make more, so people will get in the paper. And then so she was like, "I need money to bail these people out." So she brings her boyfriend with her to get money from Don to bail these women out because she thinks that he won't berate her for it. But he does it even worse. Like, he does it, like, full force. But then, later, after when he goes to the office, he's like, "You thought bringing him was gonna make it better, didn't you?" And he just said, "Yes." And he's like, "Well, doesn't always work out the way you think it is, does it?"
But, like, in this season, Peggy says something which I kind of agree with, where, you know, as a view of the whole show, where, you know, Don was... happy at the beginning of the season.
He is.
And she wanted him to back him up, and he was very content with the way things were, and he didn't back her up, and she kind of just said, basically, Don sucks when he's happy.
Yeah. He's like, and, he's so kind and patient. What the hell?
Right, yeah. And it's like, and something happens later in the episode where it makes him unhappy, but like, that whole like first part of the show was like, this is boring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Don was unhappy, and the show was like, okay, here we go.
All right.
This is the conflict Don we know. Always makes it better.
Yeah.
Well, there was plenty of conflict going on, just not with Don.
Yeah, yeah, there's always conflict going
he's
on.
He's the
there's
main
always,
character. Yeah. He needs to have more of it than anybody else.
That's true.
But I think that one of the better characters who I actually hate, but creates a lot of the good conflict on the show is Pete Campbell.
Oh yeah, he's a spoiled brat.
He is a spoiled brat, and he wants things to go his way. Yes, but he's there to create the tension, and you can like, you know, even though he's a brat, you can like see he's just trying to work his way up in the company, and he wants what he wants, and you know, no matter who gets in his way, and you'll see more of that in season 4 and season 5. If you ever get to that point, Amy.
Okay.
I think Amy. I think the one that got, like, I remember it when I first saw it. I was like, okay, you know, I'm kind of trolling through it. The first season, kind of like trolling through it because you're like, these guys are definitely not relatable because you're wondering when are these guys going to do what I want them to do, which is stop being people who all they worry about is themselves and things like that. And I think it is the season finale, which kind of is pretty much what sets up for the rest of the series. And you're just like, oh, okay, I'm actually interested in what happens to these people. And the way they further explore Don's real life and his background is very well done in season 2.
Yeah.
And I think that'll actually make you... care a bit more about him than you do now, which is zero.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of do after the, like I said, episode 9 is when his wife goes to work and he's trying to be like the company that she's kind of the model for is trying to get him to come over, and he's like, I really don't want to move. I like where I'm at. And like, it's the whole, how he's like, oh, you know, sweetheart, I think, you know, if it makes you happy, go back to work, go do that. You know, I want you to be happy. And I thought, oh, that was a really nice thing of him to do. And like, especially when it's like unconventional during this time that a woman should be out of the house, mm-hmm. he's encouraging her to do that. And I thought, oh, and then of course she ends up not like, cause he turns the job down. So she loses the job mm-hmm. and they're really nice about it, but you know, she's not stupid. She could tell, you know, totally that
I hate Betty. I think she's the worst.
Yeah, I liked her. I think she's the worst character.
She is the woman.
At the very end, she goes and starts shooting the birds. Like, that was awesome.
She is actually the character who.
I think she's the most irredeemable character in the entire show.
In the beginning, you're like, wow, poor woman. Like
you're saying, Pete, you know, you feel bad for her because her husband's out here, and he's even if he's not sleeping with another woman, he's out drinking late, or he doesn't come home at all because he's working or whatever. And you're like, wow, I feel so bad for her. And then it's like you see her like, and she changes throughout the whole season or the whole series, and it's just
she goes,
she's so irredeemable.
Her transformation in terms of character is the largest in terms of like. The way she starts in the first season to now is just, like, completely different person.
For the most part, not many characters have changed radically.
No, they try. But yeah. God help them, they try.
Don goes back and forth with, you know, relationships and whatever. But like, and Sterling's the same character he's always been. And Pete is the same character he's always been. But Betty transforms radically, and can find her completely irredeemable.
She's definitely season five is the character to hate for sure.
I like her in season one, so I will have to continue to see this change. Yeah. I mean, which could kind of make sense because she is going to therapy for a reason, and I figure, well, you know, what's going on? Because I can definitely tell something is happening with her, but I just don't know what at this point. So
do they show her interacting with? Do they show her interacting with the kids a whole lot in season one?
Just a little bit, but not a lot.
When she interacts with the kids more, like when the daughter grows up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I'd just like to gauge your
okay.
Reaction on how she deals with a girl that's growing up.
Yeah, as a mom. Even though you don't have daughters, but you know, just the way that she interacts
with as a parent in general, she does things that, you know, I don't have kids. But,
okay, I will give you my input when I get there.
But John knows it's not right.
Sometimes it's necessary.
But definitely. So it is back. It definitely felt like a 2-hour season premiere.
So does that count as one episode or two episodes?
No, it's two episodes. But it's oddly enough, it was so well stitched together that you just kind of felt like, oh, okay.
But there was no break in the middle. That's why the only reason I ask.
Yeah. It was episodes 1 and 2. So it is now 66. So people have survived through the mid-60s, and it has become.
Did you see how much a kid? Never mind. I can't say too much.
It's a different kid.
I'll just take my ears out, and you can talk.
Yeah.
The baby grew up a lot.
Oh yeah.
Babies grow up pretty quickly, but
yeah. They recast the son. You know that, right?
Early on.
No. Bobby. They recast him because the kid is on Once Upon a Time, so they recast him.
They recast him, like early on in the after the first season, they recast him too.
No, it's the same kid.
Look it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a different kid.
I think that Betty couldn't get along with him or something like that.
In real life?
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's fine with me because I find her even as a regular person, I find her abhorrent.
Oh my god, Bobby Draper. No, I don't think so. Let me see.
see.
I'm pretty sure that he was the same kid, but Amy, you can put your headphones back in now.
I don't know if she can hear you.
I know, but you can.
Headphones aren't on. I've been doing this. She's not watching.
Watch us.
I don't know. I think she. Hang on a second. She put in a message here. Just tell me when you're done. We're done. Welcome back.
Okay, I'm back.
We were like poking our ears to get her to come back.
Like I was like, I don't get what they're doing. Sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. But
we need to figure out like a signal that says, okay. Wave at the camera.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
But
so.
Definitely, it's definitely, hopefully,
keep plugging away.
Yeah, keep plug away at least until the season finale of season one.
Okay.
And if you can, push to episode two, season one, episode two, or season two, episode
season
one,
two,
I'm
episode
sorry.
Two.
Okay,
and,
season two, episode.
Yeah, and that, I think it will definitely help you out a little bit. It's definitely one of those shows that when you watch it again, it's definitely you're more invested into it. Because I found when I watched it again, I actually watched all four seasons again, and I was like, "Wow, this is actually a really good show." Because you know what happens afterwards and things like that. So
yeah, so it's building up to something. Okay,
it's definitely right. the show is for sure a slow burn show.
It is
very slow. You can feel the tension building. It's building. It's building. But you don't know where it's going. But it'll get there, and it's very satisfying.
Okay. All right. Cool.
So, all right. Yeah. Well, that I believe that is enough for us. I mean, that's a pretty action-packed episode. So.
Oh yeah.
For episode 21, we are taking a 2-week hiatus. I am going out of town, and you guys will probably go out of town as well for some R&R. Well deserved vacation. So we will be back on the 17th. Yeah, the 17th. And we'll definitely have a lot more discussions to talk about. So all feedback is welcome at screenview@tfradio.net. You can follow us on Twitter at Screenview Show. Me at Pete_Van. Amy at Lady of Wreck. John at Silver Mateu, Meteu.
I don't even put it because I haven't written anything since I started Twitter.
Terrible. Terrible, terrible human being. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I am.
But that is it for tonight. And thank you guys and have a good night.
Okay. Have a good one.
Stop scowling like that, John.
You've been listening to Screenview. Screenview was a radio-free
Bobby
Cybertron
Draper, and the
production.
First thing that came up was... No joke, January Jones eats her own placenta on the set of Mad Men.
Ooh.
That's terrible.
Wow.
You've been listening to
At first
Screen
I thought it
View.
Said... I thought it was going to say...
Screenview is a radio-free Cybertron production.
Oh my God.
Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio.
Another kid that plays
Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
So funny, some of these characters or some of the actors you see on